Begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Kuf Zayin. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara introduced in the previous daf of Malchigas Rav and Shmuel, because it related back to the Gemara's discussion on that daf, regarding if there were two brothers who had split up and divided their inheritance from their father, and then a third brother came from overseas and says, "Hey, I'm the third brother. So what do we do now? It was already split up amongst these two brothers." So Rav says, "Batla Malchigas." They have to undo what they had divided and now make a whole new division amongst the three of them. Reb Shmuel said that, no, Mekamtzin, he says that what you do is that they keep what they had divided. They just each take off. Let's say there were six fields and each had taken three. Now each takes off one, which then makes two, two, and two. Now they're going to be even, but you don't have to go ahead and redivide the whole thing. Now, a similar discussion, a similar machlekes, the Gemara brings as follows. Itma we learned. Achen shel cholku, regarding brothers that had divided, which it's talking about two brothers, but says Rashbam, the same thing would apply if it was three brothers. Ubo balchayv, and then a creditor of their father came, menotel chelko shalechmen, and then as a right he has to collect the debt that's owed to him from the estate, which now that was divided amongst their children, and he goes and they collect from the estate of one of those two brothers who had taken the land. So we have a machlekes. Rav amar batl machlekes. Rav says that that division that they had originally made is void, and they go ahead and redivide from what's remaining now. Now that one of the creditors took and one, part of the estate was lost from one of the brothers, now they have to redivide the whole thing. Shmuel amar viter. Shmuel says, no, actually, that brother who that creditor had collected from, it's his loss, and he cannot go back onto his other brother to go ahead and collect the loss from his brother to go ahead and share the losses amongst the two of them. A third opinion, Rav Asi, he says that actually, no, not like either one of them. You don't say that the whole division is void, that then he could collect half of what was collected from him from the other brother, as Rav had said. But, and neither is it like Shmuel, who said that it's a total loss for the brother that was collected from. Rather, says Rav Asi, neitel revia bekarka. He collects a quarter from his brother's field, meaning which is half of half, or the revia, or his brother gives him a quarter of bemois, of money. Where, because the other brother could tell the one who the land was collected from, that said that I would never have given that creditor land. All that we owed him was money. That's all our father owed him, and therefore you could have paid him money too, and the fact that you let him collect from your land is not my fault, and therefore, although I have to compensate you, although not all of it, as we'll explain, meaning that I don't have to give you half of my land, I'll give you half of half my land, which is a quarter, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. Rav Asi's in doubt, is halacha like Rav or like Shmuel? According to Rav, he would have to compensate him for half, meaning for what he had lost, which is half of his. According to Shmuel, he doesn't have to give him anything. Half of that half is a quarter, like the halacha is mamna matba safik is chalkman. There's a doubt regarding a monetary obligation. You divide it. Now, moreover, explains Rashbam according to his primary interpretation, the words uraviya b'mois that Rav Asi says, and a quarter of money, doesn't mean and, it means or a quarter of money, as we find other places in Shas like that. And therefore, the interpretation is that the other brother who was not collected from gives to that brother that was collected from a quarter of his portion that is in either land or in money. Now, the Gemara explains these three opinions of this machlekes. Rav amar batla machlekes, he says that the whole division is void and is undone. He explains the Gemara because Kesavra, he holds ha'achen shecholku yershinein. Brothers that divide inheritance, they're considered inheritors. What does that mean? I mean to say they maintain that designation as inheritors, which is that the obligation of is on the estate for all of them to pay up their father's debts. And therefore, because they divided, doesn't then remove the obligation of the estate's debts, which is incumbent upon their father. Now, the reason for this is because Rav holds what's called Yesh Breira, that there is retroactive clarification, which is when each brother ends up dividing his share of the father's inheritance, it's as if it was clarified that this was his rights, because we don't know exactly what each person's rights in the estate is. We just arbitrarily say, okay, you take this and you take that. And that Rav says, no, that Breira says as if it was clarified that that was the part that was always his. So it comes out that neither one had purchased, and that's the primary point, as we'll see in the other opinion. And it's not like either one had said, okay, look, maybe my part is by you and your part is money. Okay, but let's buy from each other, so to speak. It's not true. He holds that it's as if each one got what was supposed to be his, and he's still considered a Yairish. Not like as if he bought his brother's share from him and his brother bought his share from him. Now, says Rabban, so similarly you would find regarding Rav's opinion, a halacha regarding on when they reach the Yevil year. The halacha is someone's inheritance he maintains forever. If he bought from someone else's inheritance, he has to give it back at the Yevil year. So it's actually an opinion mentioned in Masechta's Gittin that when brothers divide, they're considered lekuches, because maybe he bought his portion, he bought his portion, and therefore when it comes to Yevul, they actually have to give it back and then redivide it again. Whereas, as explains Rashbam, according to Rav, you would not have to do that. Now, so since they're Yershin, so therefore the halacha is so that the his half has to be returned to him, because why should I get any more of a loss than you? So therefore Rav says, you have to undo it. Now, Shmuel, Amavita B'Shmuel, that says, no, that this brother who got it collected from it's his laws, Kasavar, he holds, Ha'achen Shacholka Lukuchasava. Brothers that divide inheritance, they're considered consumers. Meaning, where he doesn't hold Bereira, we don't know for sure that this is a part that it was supposed to be his. So it really comes out on some level that each one of the brothers really bought his brother's portion, and it's almost as if they decided, okay, look, you know, you take mine, I take yours. So it's like some type of a transaction that each one might be taking the other ones. So since they're Lekuche, so most definitely hold Shmuel, Ukalekech Shloi Bachrayis Dami. They're like consumers who bought from the other one without liability, without insurance. It's almost as if each brother told the other one, look, I'm not taking responsibility for your portion on me, because that's the assumption that they're not taking responsibility. Because as Rashbam explains, although generally when someone sells land to his friend, the Gemara tells him, Bam Metzia, that even if the insurance was not mentioned in the document, we assume it was a mistake and a scribal error. If he doesn't write it in the document, explains Rashbam, that's only when someone's selling a piece of land to his friend, because the one who's paying is not going to pay money for nothing. He wants to make sure he's insured for that property. But regarding when brothers split an inheritance, where each one's taking his portion, with that benefit that he doesn't have to take responsibility on his other brothers if something happens to his, so each one gives over the rights so that he's not taking responsibility for any one of the other ones, and therefore, since we consider them like kuchus, therefore the one who gets lost from it's his own laws, he doesn't get compensated. So that's Rav and Shmuel. Continues the Gemara, Rav Asi Mishafkele, Rav Asi was in doubt. E Yarshin Hava, do they have halacha as inheritors, and therefore, like Rav had said, each one's going to have to give back the half of his portion to the other brother that it collected from, because each one of them really just brought them details of the larger inheritance. They're not like that they bought the Yershin. So why should I get more of a loss than you in regard to our father's debt? Or he wasn't sure if or do they have halacha like consumers, like Shmuel had said, and therefore the other brother is not liable from anything. So Hilkach, therefore, that's why he said some type of a compromise. Neitu Ravia Bekarka. He takes a quarter of the land, meaning his brother has to pay him not half of his land, but only a quarter of the land that's remaining to him. And the reason for that, as we said before, because Imam al-Mutab al-Safiq, since this is a doubt, is it like Rav or like Shmuel? So halacha is chal, can you split it? Or, it doesn't have to give him even a quarter of his land, v'reviba mais, he could give him a quarter in money. That's what he could return to him, because he could tell him that, look, I had money. I would have removed this creditor with money, and because you were poor and you had no money and therefore you took your land, that doesn't mean that I should lose my actual property. I could compensate you and reimburse you, not with land, but actually with money. That's the interpretation of the Rashbam. He brings from Rashi, Masechta Baba Kama, in the first parak, that actually when Rav Asi says a quarter in karka, v'revia b'mais, and a quarter of money, means and a quarter of money besides a quarter of land, which is that all that his portion that was taken, that which is his half, if you have, let's say, 50 and 50. So we were interpreting his 50 was taken, so now he comes to this 50, he says he doesn't have to give him half of his, 25, but rather 12 and a half, which is half of his half. On that disinterpretation, Rashi is, no, actually he has to give him his whole half, meaning 25%, both from the land and from money, meaning that 25% that he has to give him 12.5% from land and 12.5% from money. Now, why would that be? Because that's what the Gemara is saying, according to the interpretation of Rashi and Baba Kama, that there's a doubt if the two brothers have a halacha like Yershin, and therefore then he would have to give him back his whole entire half from land, and he wouldn't be able to just reimburse him with money, because since we're both inheritors, why should I cause any loss? We have to get redivide this whole properties. Or is it like Shmuel that he has halacha of like lekuches, but at that point is where Rav Asi differed with Shmuel, but he has halacha like lekech b'achrayis, that he, even though he's like a consumer, but he bought it with insurance. And therefore he would have to give him back his half that he lost, but he'd be able to reimburse him with money, because there's no problem, he could reimburse a consumer with money. So that's why the halacha compromise Rav Asi came up with is that he has to give him back a quarter of the land like Yarshin, and a quarter in money, like someone who sells, like a lekech, but sells with insurance. But says Rashbam that the primary interpretation is that, like the one that he says over here, because even he says Rashi over there bring down the certain difficulties with that other interpretation. Concludes the Gemara regarding the machlokes we brought over here in this stuff and from the previous stuff. Amar Papa, he says Hilchos b'chol hanishmaitz, the halacha is regarding all these different discussions that we had regarding that we had on the previous stuff regarding when there's two brothers that divide inheritance and then a third brother comes and says, hey, I'm a third brother too. And regarding brothers that split, like we brought on this stuff, and then a creditor comes and takes the portion of one of them, the halacha by both of these are that mekamtzin, that is that each brother takes off from his portion and he has to give half of his field to the other one, like Rav. So it's some type of a mixture of Shmuel and like Rav. Where the halacha is like they are like Yarshim. So you do have to give your half. You don't say that, oh, it's your loss, but you don't say like Rav that it's going to be batla machlokes, like Rav had said, that you have to redo the whole thing. Rather, it's even without redoing the whole thing. Rather, he just gives him half of his field from whichever side that he wants to, as long as it's equal to the other side. So it's some type of a combination of Rav and Shmuel. So halacha is, but he definitely says, Rav Papa, you never have to redo the whole thing. You could just take off to make it equal. So although it's like Rav, that you have to make them equal, and it's not like Vitor, like Shmuel says, but all you have to do is like Shmuel that mekamtzin. Amemama, he disagrees. He says, no, but l'machlekes, he says like Rav, that you have to redo, the whole division is void, you have to redo it. And v'hilchos halacha is, but l'machlekes, halacha is that when two brothers split two portions, and then the third brother comes from overseas, or if they split it, like we brought on this stuff, and a creditor comes and takes the portion of one of them, or another case, Rashbam says, so let's say they made an error in the division, that when they split amongst themselves, there was a stolen field of their father's, which then is going to have to be removed from the one that got that portion. So it comes out that one of the brothers took more than the other ones. Now, halacha is like Rav, that we go ahead and redivide it equally amongst the two of them, or the three of them. Because this is similar to the case that we brought on this stuff, when the creditor comes and takes the portion of one of them, where, again, you have to redo the whole division. Now, says Rashbam, actually, the same thing would be, even if, let's say, only half of one's portion was taken away by the creditor, that you would have to redivide the whole thing. Because Rav does not differentiate when the creditor takes the portion of one of them, whether it's all of his portion or even half of his portion. And moreover, what we learn from this sugi is that when brothers divide, they have a lacha like Yoshim and not like Lekuchas, like inheritors, and therefore he have to redo the whole thing, and not like Lekuchas, where either it would be a total loss, it was like Lekuchas without insurance, or it would be that you could still collect with money, even if it was with insurance. We don't say that, we say that they're like Yerushim. And therefore, Batla Machlokes. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Linda Brisa. Shloshu Sheyordu Loshim. Three people that go down to evaluate the estate of orphans, which is to either pay up the for the money, for the food, for the widow, or for her daughters. Now, the reason why three people have to go out and evaluate the property is because you cannot have the evaluation of the court less than three people. Now, let's say they come down, these three evaluators, which are the courts, and they're evaluating an echad oimer b'mana. One of them says that the property is worth a mana, which is 100 zuz. U'shnayim oimer b'masayim, but the other two say, no, it's worth actually 200 zuz. Or let's say the other way around. Echad oimer b'masayim, v'shnayim oimer b'mana. One says it's worth 200, and the other two say it's worth 100. Says the Brice, the batel yachad b'mi'utayt. So the individual opinion is nullified in his minority. In other words, that individual, because he's the minority, the Pasuk says in Shema Yisrael Gimel Achei Ram Lahatis, you go after the majority, and therefore whatever the majority opinion is, that's how we're going to evaluate the property. Let's say Echad Eim B'mana. Let's say there is actually no unilateral, there's no majority. Rather, one of them says it's worth a mana, which is 25 slum. 100 dinarim is 25 slum, where there's 4 dinarim to a seller. The Echad Eim B'esrim. One person says that it's actually worth 20 slum, which is 5 slum less, which is 80 dinarim. And a third one says that it's actually worth 30 slum, which is 5 slum more, and then the mana one, which is for a total of 120 dinar. So you have someone that says 80 dinar, 100 dinar, and 120 dinar. Says the Tanna Kamma. So nidin b'mana. So the halacha is that it's going, you're going to go with the middle one, which is 100 dinar, as the Gemara explained all the opinions of this brisa. Elizabeth Sadek, I mean, he says, no, nidin betishim. Says that actually the valuation is going to come out to be 90 dinarim, meaning it's going to be from the one that has 5 slum less, which is between the two lowest opinions, you're going to take half of that, which is there's really a 20 dinar difference between the 80 dinar one and the, which is the 20 slum one, and the mana one. So you can take half of that difference, which are 10 dinar, and you can add that onto the lowest one, which was, he said, 80, add on another 10, which is going to be 90 dinar. The third opinion, the others say, that what you actually do is you evaluate the difference between them, and you cut that into threes. In other words, you calculate how much is the difference from the smallest amount to the largest amount, which is 40 dinar, because the lowest amount was 20, then there was 25 slum, and then there was 30 slum. So the difference from 20 to 30 is 40 dinar. Now from those 40 dinar, you cut that into threes, which comes out to 13 dinar and a third dinar, which you add on to the lowest one, which is 80, as the Gemara will explain, and that's going to be the total of the valuation of this property. So the Gemara explains all these three opinions. The one that says that you go with the one that's it's worth 100 dinar is because milsa mitziyasa. You go ahead and you take the middle road, you take the one that's equal between the two polars, which is that it's five more than the lowest amount, and it's five less than the largest amount. And therefore, that's what halach is, that you'll go according to that middle one, which is 100. Now, the reason why it's appropriate to say that one is because both of them, meaning the largest amount of 30 slum, and the middle one, which is of a mana, they both agree that there was at least a mana. So it comes out the one that says it was only 20, he's the yachid, and he's batel b'miyutai. And therefore, that's why it makes sense to go with the mana one. Now, additionally, you could say that same logic the other way, is that both the one that says that it's only 20 and the one that says it's mana, they both agree that it wasn't more, that was not more than a mana. So it comes out the one that says it was 30, he's a yachid, and he's batel b'miyutai, so therefore, it comes out that really the one that's a mana is really like both the lowest and the highest, so therefore it makes sense that he would be the one that's the majority from both these angles. Now, Rashbam just said the same thing would apply, even if, let's say, the highest one said is 28 slum, it's still that you would still, even though it's not exactly, you would still go ahead and go with the middle one, because you still have that everyone agrees to his concept of being a mana. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama, that you go with the middle opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek, he says, nidin petition. He says, no, that you evaluate not at 100 dinar, but rather as 90 dinar. So it says the Gemara Kesavah, because he holds, ha'ara, this land, as we continue to Medbe, is actually tishin. It's 90 dinar that it's shabbat that it's worth, which, if you calculate that in slum, is 22 and a half slum. Now, therefore comes that each one made a small error. Because v'haydikama estrim, the one that said the least amount that it was 20 slum, is the gatoy asor la'achare. Is because he made an error of he degraded, he was making it invaluable of by a measure of 2.5 slum worth of its value. Meaning lachayr means lower down. There's 10. It was actually worth 10 more, and he left 10 from what he should have calculated from the value of the item. Now haydekama mana, whereas the one that said it was 100 dinar, katoyasar lekameh, he made an error of 10 more than. Meaning, he added on more than there should have been from the calculation, which he should have said. So he actually evaluated 2.5 slum more than it should be. Now explains Rashbam that this opinion holds that it's more preferable to say that both of these opinions made a small error, this one a little bit more, this one a little bit less, and to say that it was worth 90 dinar, which are 22.5 slum, because now we're really going based on both of their opinions of the two smallest amounts. The reason for that is why we go based on those two smallest amounts. We say they're really saying the same thing, just they both erred a little bit in the middle, is because tafas demu, tafas, as Gemara says many times in Shas, we go with what's definite, which are the smallest amounts, and we're not going to go after the one that says that it's a mana, and to say that, oh, he's the only one, like the Tanakhama that says he got it right, and everyone else made a mistake. No, we'd rather go with two opinions, where if we say they both made an error, and somewhere between those two opinions, comes up we're going like two opinions, and only just one of the three evaluators. Now, the Gemara asks, but adrabah, but to the contrary. Even if you're going to say this logic, you don't want to say like Tanakhama that only one of the three got it right and two of the three got it right. But why do you say like it's the lowest two? Actually say as follows. Hai ara meyabas sarashabi. Why don't you say that this land is actually was worth 110 dinar? And therefore you should have said that it should be evaluated 110. Because why do you see fit to go based on the first and the second, but the third one you're saying he evaluated too much? To the contrary. Why don't you pick the second and the third opinions, but say that the first one, he made an error too much of under-evaluating? Because of a high dekama mano kartoya sor lachayre. Why don't you say the one who said it was only 100 dinarim? It's because he under-evaluated by 10. And the one who said that it was 30 slum, he overvaluated by 10. So why don't you pick it between those highest two and not from the two lowest two? So that's the Gemara that knows. Since we could say either one, because we don't want to say like one of the three, we rather say like two of the three, so we should go after the two lowest ones because rather grab on to the two lowest ones in your hand, because it definitely did not leave from the evaluation of greater than a mana. In other words, according to both of their opinions, we should say that the value is close to a mana, but not including a mana itself, and therefore we shouldn't go after the two later opinions that say that it was more than a mana, because as we said before, because this is really based on the principle of tefasta meruba loy tefasta, because everybody agrees that it was close to a mana. Everyone, the lowest, the highest, everyone agrees that it was somewhere near that. But therefore, since we're going to go like two out of the three, we'd rather go like the lowest two, which is that it was going to be 90, and the lowest one made an error by 10, and the 100 made an over error by 10, rather than saying like the highest two, because then we're trying to say more than what's not necessarily the case. We only know for sure that it's close to a mana, but not necessarily that it's a mana or more than that. So that's the second opinion. The others say, that we evaluate what's the entire spectrum of the difference, and then we cut that into threes because we have three different evaluators with three different opinions, and then that third more, take a third, that one of those thirds, and add on to the lowest opinion, that's going to be the value. So explains the Gemara, Kasavri, the Acherim hold, that high ara, that really this land, Tishin v'tlosa v'tilsa shavir, it was worth 93 and a third dinar. Now high dekama estim, the one that said it was only worth 20 slum, which is 80 dinar, Ketoy, he made an error of tlase of a tilsal achari of 13 and a third backwards, meaning he under-evaluated by that amount. Vahaydekamamana, the one that says they're worth 100 dinarim, ketoy tlase of a tilsal achame, he made that same error of 13 and a third more, as we explained before regarding how we calculate the 13 and a third, because we take that 40 and we split it into threes. Now, however, the Tanakhama held that you could say that's not true, that the people did not make we could say that someone did not make an error at all, and if we'd rather say that the opinion is like the middle one, and to say that maybe the other two had made an error. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, the second opinion he held, that no, people make an error to overvalue or undervalue by 10, whereas the Achaim were explaining the Gemara that no, they hold that the person can make an error of 13 and a third regarding something that's worth more than 80, Now, so therefore, the truth is, it continues, if we're saying that the 80 undervalued by 13 and a third, so if we're saying that the other opinion, the bottom two, which the second one is the mana one, overvaluated by 13 and a third, so why is it only saying 100? So the Gemara addresses that and says, Ubedin hu delayman, the truth is that the second opinion, the middle opinion, should have said that it's worth tfei, more than just a mana. It should have been a mana and 6 dinar and 2/3 of a dinar, which comes out to be 13 and a third more than its value. So why does he only say a mana, 100? If it's 93 and a third, it should be a 13 and a third more than that. V'haydele kama, this study doesn't say that much, and he stops at 100, is kesavar, he thinks, look, mistoy dukum atfina kule hayechavroi. It's enough that I'm adding on so much on my disputant, because I'm adding on already 20 more dinam than what he said. Because he said 80. I'm not going to say more than that, although I really think it is this 106. But I'm only going to say 100 just to be 20 more than what he's saying. Now, Rashbam addresses, says, although we don't really know who's speaking first, so how do we know that the one who says 100 is only after the one who says 80 and he doesn't want to be more than 20 more than him? He says, even so, that there is a discussion always between them, and everyone really knows what the other one is thinking. And after that, they are back and forth. Then they all decide on their own how much they think the value is in their eyes. And since this guy knows that his other evaluator wants to say 80, so he's afraid to have over-evaluated that much more than his colleagues. So though he really thinks it's really 106 and change, he's not going to say that, and therefore he stops at 100, but really it's because of making an error of 13 and a third, which the 80 is undervaluing by that amount, and the 101 would really evaluate it that much, he just stops at 100. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Adrabah, to the contrary, which as Rashbam says is the same like we asked on the previous opinion, where, okay, so though you're going between, in the opinion of the Chayim, between the lowest two, just like we said by the opinion before this, that we're going between the lowest two, which that opinion held which was Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that's by 10, he's going to make 13 and thirds. So, but why did he go with the bottom ones? Ha'ara, why don't you say that this land may have a place of a tilsa shavya? That's actually worth 113 and a third. Hi, the Kamamana, so the one that said 100, Ketoy Tlaise of a tilsa lachayre, he under-evaluated by 13 and a third. V'haide kamashloishim, and the one that said it's 30 slime, toy tlaise of a tilsa lachame, he really overvalued by 13 and a third. Over. Now, obedinu de kamatve, and really he should have then said more than just 30 slime, which is 120 dinar. Because the truth is then 13 and a third more than the value is going to be more than 120. But Sav Mistoy the Kometin for Mitfina Kule Hayachavre, but he thought, okay, it's enough. If this guy said 100, I don't want to overvalue it more than him by 20. But therefore, why do you say it's the difference between the lowest two? Why do you say it's the difference between the higher two? That says the Gemara, no kan mias trikamabiotka, no, take the lowest two in your hands, Dimitaris Mele Mafkale, because we don't know for sure that it went beyond 100. Meaning both of those hold that it's not necessarily more than that, and therefore the third opinion is going to be bottled in those two, because we'd rather say tefasta mu tefasta, tefasta meruba, to make the largest ones, like tefasta, that we don't know for sure, we'd rather go with the lowest ones. Concludes the Gemara, Amar Avuna, he says, Halacha kecherem, halacha is like a cherem. What you do is that you mishalshin, you take the difference between all the three opinions, from the largest to the lowest, you take then a third of that, and you add that onto the lowest opinion. Which again, in the case that we described, was 13 and a third. On that, Amar Avashi says, what do you mean? Taimed acherem lo yadinim, we don't even know the reason of acherem. Because as Rashbam says, it's not logical to say their reasoning, where it's going to be based on a third of the three different opinions, which is, in our case, a 13 and a third, which... it makes more sense to say that it would be a concrete number that you would over or undervalued by. And we're going to go ahead and follow the halacha like them. Rather, says Rashbam, halacha is like the Tanakama, that you go with the middle opinion, which in our case is the one that says it's a mana is 100 dinar. Similar type of a discussion, Tanu Dayana Gaila, the judges of the diaspora, which refers to Shmuel and Karna, they taught the following brisa. Eisen Shuma Beinayim U'Meshashlim. When you have this type of a case, you evaluate between the all three opinions, and then you cut that into thirds, and you add that third onto the lowest opinion. Am Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, the halacha is like this brisa that the Dayana Gaila brought, which is the same idea, which the halacha is like the Acher. Now, Rashbam addresses, he says, so maybe you would say that actually that Rav Huna had only taught one of these halachas, and one was inferred from the other. And to the contrary, he says, because since it was so obvious that this is exactly the same opinion Rav Huna just said a second ago, when he said halach is like a cherem, and here he's saying halach is like the yana gaila, therefore, actually, that's why the Gemara didn't even bother to ask and say, wait a second, as the Gemara asked many times in Shas, but v'am Rav Huna chadazim, Rav Huna already said this one time. It's, that question is only asked in the Gemara when they're actually not the same exact statement. And there's a little differences, but the reasoning is the same. That's what the Gemara usually asks, oh, what he already said this one time. But here it's so obvious that it's the same statement. The Gemara didn't bother. He must have said it one time, and it was just said over with different wording a different time. Now, on that, Amar Rav Ashi says, Taimed did the Yana Gaila lo yadinan. We don't even know the reasoning of this opinion that the judges of the Gaila are quoting from this Braisa, Helchas Abdin Kabasayo. Are we going to do Lalocha like them? Rather, Rav Ashi says, as Rashbam had explained, that the halacha is not going to be like the Chayim, rather like the Tanakama, that you're going to go with the Emtsoi, with the middle of the three opinions. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again concluding this Perek with the topic of this Perek, which is this idea about when someone is selling a specific type of an entity, what is included in the unspecified sale of that item. So if someone tells his friend, Chatzi Sada Ani Meichalach, he tells him, I'm going to sell you half of my field. So what does that? What does that include? What is? And then you sell an unspecified half a field. What is that sale? So explains the Mishnah. Mishamnin beinehem. So the quality is between them, which the Gemara is going to explain. What exactly does this mean? V'nitkel chatzi sadeyu, and then the consumer takes half of his field. Let's say he tells him chetzi bedarm ani meichloch. The half that's in the south, I'm going to sell you. So again, there also mishamnin beinehem. So the quality is between them. V'nitkel chatzi bedarm, and then he takes the half that's in the south. And again, the Gemara is going to explain what do these words in the Mishnah mean. Now, continues the Mishnah, and added halacha regarding when someone sells half of his field, v'hu makabel alav, and the seller accepts upon himself when he sells half of his field to a consumer, mokim hageder, a place to fence in, that the consumer could fence in the half of his field from all different directions because of the wild animals that should not enter into his field. Because when someone unspecified sells half of his field, he sells him all the needs of a field, which includes the fencing to close it in. Because if he sells him an entire field, there it's pretty obvious, says Rashbam, that he's selling him everything. What more could you say that he should add on? Whatever is there, he gives him. He, when he sells him half the field, so what's included? And that says the Mishnah, a place where to put the fence. Charitz, which Rashi says is fushibalaz, which is this, these trenches in the ground, which are long and narrow. Uven charitz, which is a small, narrower ditch, which is actually, as the Gemara will explain, between the wall and the larger ditch, and concludes the Mishnah, but kamahu charitz, how much is a ditch? Shisha tfachim, it's 6 tfachim wide along the entire length of the field. And the Gemara will explain, why do I need this all for? Uven charitz, and how wide is the smaller ditch? Ishleisha is 3 tfachim. Now, Amr b'chibar Abba, Amr b'yechen, explains regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, that lekeach, the consumer, noitel kochu shabai. He takes the weaker, the more inferior half of the field when he buys half the field. And the reason for that is because what's called yad halkeach ala tachtayna. The consumer, who we're saying buys unspecified half the field, he has the lower hand, and therefore the seller could give the consumer the most inferior part, the most inferior half of that field, because maybe when he sold him half the field, he sold him half in monetary value of the field. Now, that's why the seller could give him from the most inferior part from the half, which will then equal half the value of the field, as the Gemara will explain later on, and therefore that's for the gain of the seller. Now, the reason why it's a gain for the seller, though it's still half of the value of the field, is because a person would rather have a certain measurement of finer, higher quality field, more than double that amount of quantity, which is of lower quality of Zibur's. Now, based on this, the Mishnah that said that you misham the binein is, as Rashbam brings from the Gemara Masechtas Bechayrois, that it means that shuman yehe binehem, that the value should, the quality should be between them, meaning that this, that the field is worth half of the more higher quality part, more than the half that's the inferior, that shuman, that quality, should be between them, meaning that the seller then has to add on to the consumer from the quantity of his land until that quantity will equal like the higher quality portion which the seller is leaving for himself, as the Gemara will explain later on. Because most definitely the seller is selling to the consumer half of the field. And it's pretty obvious that he's selling him half. Now, according to the law, is that really if he's selling him half, then he should get half of the higher quality part and half of the inferior part. It's just because he could say that I only sold you half of the value, meaning of the not of the actual field itself, but half of the value of the field, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. So therefore, the consumer has the lower hand, and therefore, although he's getting 50% of the value, but he's going to take from the inferior part according to how much does it have to value, which is going to get more quantity, but the quality is going to be much less. And that's what we said, that according to this interpretation, what the Chibur Abba Miyuchin is saying, is that the Misham Benay means to say that Shuman, that higher quality that the seller's taking, that's going to be the difference between them, that then the seller's going to have to add on some quantity to the consumer. On that, he asked on Rabbi Yechon, and he says, although he quoted this name Rabbi Yechon, he then asked him, but we learned the words of the Mishnah, which says, Misham the Beinayim, that the quality is between them. Now his question is inferring that wording infers that they both get equal shear in that shuman, which some Rishonim explain what would it mean, Misham the Beinayim, is that between them, does that separate them, or that's actually that's between them, that they both shear that? But the way he's asking it is that it sounds like that whatever the shuman is, which is from the higher part or from the lower part, that they both have to split equally in the actual part of the land itself. Because actually that's how one would see in that Gemara Bukharis there too, where that the wording of Mishamnin from Torah Kodra B'chibarab is this idea where it said that then the Mishamnin be named, that they should then share that Shuman, which is that they should split half the land amongst themselves. So how can you say that the consumer gets the inferior and does not get from the higher quality part of the field? So Amaleis, Rabbi Yechon responded to Rabbi Chibur Abba. He said to him, "Ada achlis kaf neyasa, while you were eating dates, bebovel and bovel, when you were then having a good old time and you weren't learning Torah," and he was provoking him, he says, "while you out enjoying yourself, targimna, we interpreted the resha of this Mishnah that you're asking from, mi sefer, from the end of our Mishnah. Because the Tani sefer, let's look at the end of the Mishnah," says Rabbi Yechon. The next case in the Mishnah says, "Chetzi bedarim ani meichalach." Let's say he tells him, "I'm not selling you half of the field. I'm selling you the half that's in the south of the field." Says the Mishnah the same wording. Misham the binyan, and the qualities between them. And then the consumer takes the half that's in the south. Now, says Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Chibur Abba, if the interpretation of the Mishnah of the words Misham the binyan would be like the way you're saying, that when he says, let's say in the ratio that I'm selling you half the field, literally he has to give him half of the field, not like I'm saying that it means half of the quality, half of the value of the field, then the question then becomes, then va'amai misham d'binein? Then why actually does the Mishnah say that the quality is between them? But why is that? The halacha should be, you should just go ahead and take a line and cut through the field, and the consumer should take the half in the south, whether it is higher quality or even if it's inferior, because that's what he told him. V'chetzi b'darma malay, he told him the half that's in the south. Why are you saying, if you're saying Misham the Benayim means to say, oh, then they should all get a half of the actual land, meaning of the higher quality, but how can you say that when he says explicitly he's giving him the half in the south? Ela rather proves Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Chibur Abba from the fact that even the Sefer uses the terminology of Mishamnin. From there you could infer that this, that the word Mishamnin means Lidmei. It means to say, like we explained before, it means that what the value of the land is worth, that shaman, that evaluation, that I'm going to sell you from the land wherever I want to give to you from. Because obviously not talking about the actual concrete land, because you can't say that in the case of the Sefer. Must be, I'm being Mishamnin in the value of it. So Chanami, therefore, here also in the reach of the Mishnah, it's also going to be Ledmei. That what happens there is you're going to evaluate the entire field. And if the evaluation of the entire field is 100 dinar, so the seller is going to give to the consumer what's worth 50 dinar wherever he wants to, even the more inferior parts of the field. Because like we said, the consumer, since this was sold unspecified, has the lower hand. And that's what it means, Misham de Beinayin, that you evaluate between the two of them. And then he takes half of the, when the Mishnah says, V'nitil chatzi sedeh, he takes half the field. It means like the half of the value of the field. Now, whereas by the Sefer of the Mishnah, there you don't evaluate the whole field. Rather, you only evaluate the half that's in the south, whether it's inferior or high quality. And whatever the value of the half in the south is, whatever the value is, that's what the seller gives to the consumer, correlating to that value, wherever he wants to, which is even in the inferior part of the field. He doesn't even give him the half that's in the south. Because like we said, the consumer has the lower hand, because maybe this that he told him, I'm giving you the half that's in the south, it means to say the evaluation of the half that's in the south, I told you, but not literally the half that's in the south. And therefore, he has to just give him that value, but he could actually give him wherever he wants to in the inferior part of the field. Now, the Gemara continues and concludes this Mishnah and the Perek. The Mishnah said, Mekabel alav malkim gedav achulu, so the seller who's selling him half of his field has to accept upon himself the responsibility of putting the place for the fence, and for charitz and the ben charitz. So Tana Linda Braisa explains those last two things. Charitz mibachutz. This ditch is actually on the outside, meaning it's the furthest away from the fence. Now, however, the smaller ditch is from the inside, meaning it's closer to the fence. But both of these ditches are on the outside of the fence. So the fence is around the perimeter of the field. Then goes the ben charitz, and then further away on the outside is the charitz. Now, the reason for this is Gemara continues to have Kav Chesem and Aleph, is Kedei Shaloi Teichai Kefetzes. So the Braisa, so that an animal, wild animal, should not jump on the fence and then jump into the field and ruin the field. That's why you need to have this charitz and the ben charitz. Now the question then is, but v'levet charitz, v'levet ben charitz, why do you need both of them? Why don't you just make the wider ditch, which now for sure can't jump over the ditch, it's too wide the ditch, because it distances from the wall, so why do you need the smaller ditch for? Says the Gemara, no, I did a ravach. Since the larger ditch is very wide, it's actually 6 tvachim wide, so kaimei begavei, we're afraid the animal will actually go enter the ditch, and we'll be able to get to the further part of it, and then v'kafta, then it's going to be able to jump onto the fence. So that's why we need to have the ben charitz too. So the Gemara says, v'levit ben charitz, v'levit charitz, and then only make this narrow ditch, where it's too narrow for the animal to go in and then to jump out. And why do you need the larger one? Says the Gemara, no, I did the cut, and since this one is narrow, so Kaima asked to say, we're afraid that then the animal is going to go on the outer ledge of the narrow ditch, Bekavta, and since it's very narrow, it will be able to jump over it and jump to the fence. So that's why we need to have both the charitz and the ben charitz. Concludes the Braisa, Bekama ben charitz le ben charitz, and how much space is there between the larger ditch and the smaller ditch? It's an area of a tefach, so you have this by the beyond the beyond this fence, you have both this ben charitz, which the measurements are 6 tefachim for the charitz, and you have 3 tefachim for the ben charitz, and you have a tefach between them beyond the perimeter of the makom hageder that the one who's selling him half the field has to leave for him beyond the perimeter of the field, of the half the field that he's selling him. Hanulach beis kur, I'll return to the 7th paragraph, Sechtem Baba Basa, Perek beis kur.